playwright and screenwriter Jodie Medland has been awarded the main stage at the Queen's Theatre in Barnstaple to show his new play Good Grief at this year's Fringe Theatre Fest. And Jodie joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you for coming in today to share this. So before we talk about Good Grief, let's talk about you, if you don't mind for a second. And your past as well. So I'm hoping I'm right with this. You grew up in Barnstaple.
Yes.
You moved to London to work as a writer for 20 years. Then you moved back to Barnstaple. Tell us why this happened.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I've just turned 40. I've had my first 20 years of my life were essentially in Barnstaple and Devon growing up. Then I moved to London to pursue my career, and I was there exactly 20 years. My dad passed away last year, and so I came back and instantly kind of knew I wanted to be closer to the family again. And it's also little things like, you know, when you're younger, you don't realise that in Devon, if you like hiking and things like that, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which I'm into now, wasn't when I was younger. And it just felt right to sort of come back right now. And this is where I need to be. I could just feel that.
Yeah. And you say you lost your dad last year.
Yes.
Was this during the pandemic?
It was during the pandemic. So even though it was actually cancer that took him, we still had to go through the sort of pandemic funeral where you had a maximum 30 people it was, and obviously everyone wearing masks and social distancing and just a lot of panic around what it meant to be with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a bizarre and interesting thing to go through and live through. And yeah, it kind of led to a couple of creative ideas as well while that was happening.
Mm. What's that like? Because it's the little things, isn't it, that you can't hug people?
Yes.
You know, which stuff we took for granted before the pandemic. What was that like, not being able to show emotion and to hold people during such a terrible time?
Yeah, very difficult. I mean, for me anyway, I probably throughout that time was a bit closed off. And so I don't know if I would have embraced the social contact of people. But yeah, not being able to have it and being mindful of what you're doing was certainly a challenge.
Mm. And if you were closed off anyway, this could have made that situation even worse because you were encouraged not to open up.
Of course, yeah. It was, all I can say is it was very bizarre. Obviously, losing a parent, it's the first time I'd lost a parent, and in itself it was a unique experience, but I think the being in a pandemic just made it all a bit more bizarre and unreal, really.
Mm. And when you look back on that time now we're coming out of the other side of the pandemic.
Yeah.
How does it feel looking back on those moments?
Still processing it in a way, still getting through what it means. With the play itself, I've always used writing as a form of therapy.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, I'd already come up with a concept of sort of having a black comedy about the build-up to a funeral with a family that really don't like each other.
Yeah.
That, to me, would have been an interesting setting for a play. So I'd kind of outlined something, and then, of course, this happened, and it just meant I could kind of focus on it and put some real-life things into there, give it the meat and bones it needed, really.
Mm. So what do your family think about you writing a play about this?
I think they understand. I mean, this is what I do for the last 20 years. I throw myself into this, and like I say, it is always a form of therapy for me. So I'll generally be writing about something that's happening in a roundabout kind of way. It's the best way to do things, I think. And of course, I tell people it's not 100% based on reality, but there's just little bits in there that, you know, the best way to write is about what you know. So that's the way to do it.
So without giving the entire storyline away, because we want people to go and to see this, what's Good Grief about? Can you give us a little sort of like a little, you know, short synopsis about it?
Yeah, sure. It was also written with inclusive casting in mind. So there are sort of three male, three female parts. And it's a foster family, which also means that you can cast anyone and the story still makes sense. But essentially, the mother of the family has passed away. A lot of them are estranged from each other, but now, of course, they have to come together to have a wake for their beloved mother.
Mm.
But they really cannot stand each other. So as they come into this converted garage where the wake is taking place, you kind of get a lot of secrets being unearthed and a lot of arguments. And yeah, it's a black comedy. It's fun. It's funny where it probably shouldn't be. And that's
but
kind
then
of
grief
setup.
Is. Grief can be, can't
of course,
it?
Yes.
It can make you laugh when you think you shouldn't. It can bring out all sorts of weird emotions, can't it?
Yeah, and this I think black comedy is kind of my preferred genre, and it is because of that. It's having the humour at the most inopportune moment. That is what, for me, theatre, that's when it's at its strongest, really. Yeah. So, it's just having fun with that terrible situation, really.
And this story extremely relatable, perhaps,
yes,
to the audience as well.
Yeah, exactly that. And it's one of those, I mean, we've all lived for the past couple of years with COVID and the pandemic. I didn't want it to be a shove down the throat thing. It's kind of a nod to what we've lived through. But really, it's more about family and how you unite even through the sort of barriers that you have. And I mean, ultimately, it's about the light at the end of the tunnel. So I'd like to think that people will come, have a good time, and kind of leave feeling uplifted.
And when you say you've put a piece of you onto the stage with this as well, what's it like when you see these actors rehearsing and bringing your story that's in your head out to life? What's that like watching them do that?
It's really wonderful. I mean, even as a writer, let's say someone else had taken a project and then you turn up and watch what other people have done with it. It's always fascinating. But I'm directing this as well. And I think when you direct, I really love the collaboration of that. So I'll sit down, I'll explain to the actors why something's written in a certain way. But again, I'm not 100% saying this is how things need to be. I like the collaboration side. So if an actor has their own experience and then we discuss what that means, again, I think it's, if that's how you work, it is a form of like helping yourself understand what's happened. So we've had a great time with the cast, just kind of getting this ready. It's been online rehearsals so far, but they're coming down next weekend because most of them are based away. Two of them are local. And then we'll kind of be together in a bubble for the week until the performances. So
the story slightly evolves, I suppose, the more people that have their input into it. Is it the same, exactly the same as when you started it out on paper?
I mean, particularly with plays, your script is your script. So it's about what that means to the characters and what the delivery is. And again, like, there's a couple of actors where every time they deliver a line, it's a little bit different because it's about how they feel at the moment. Of course, we've to death kind of discussed what the lines mean and what's happening within the character's mind. But it's kind of nice and fresh when an actor does deliver lines different ways every night because it kind of adds that uniqueness to it all the time. So again, we just play with it and we see what we can do. And the beauty of theatre is every night is a little bit different.
Yeah. As a writer, what's more nerve-wracking, handing your work over to somebody else to direct and put it on stage or on screen, or to be part of that process directing it as well? What's more nerve-wracking?
I think the minute it's in someone else's hands, there's always a chance, and it has happened in the past, where you'll go and watch something and be quite disappointed.
Okay.
Because they haven't quite grasped what things mean, or they'll put emphasis on the wrong place. It's part and parcel of it, but of course when it's in your hands, you've got that rehearsal time to really hone in on what matters.
And you still have control.
Yeah. So with plays, it's less of a problem because people respect plays more than kind of screenplays, where things do get changed more, usually because of logistics on the day. Like, really important things can get changed because people don't really know what that will knock on as.
But
I prefer being involved all the way through personally. But again, you know, when someone else is performing your work, it's a privilege anyway that they would want to do that. So
what's it like on opening night when you see it for the first time with a whole audience behind you?
Yeah, well, it's always interesting. My nerve-wracking thing is always about technical stuff.
Because
if technical things go wrong, it's completely out of your hands and it can kind of obviously ruin what you want to happen.
And you can't get up and get involved then.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. So when I'm sat there, even when things are going really great, which ordinarily they would, I'll still be thinking, I really hope that sound effect comes on time, or I really hope that light, you know, doesn't start flickering. Or
it's your baby, isn't it? So you're sending it out for everyone to see. Will you be taking your family to watch it as well?
Yes, lots of my family have already bought their tickets and things. And the unique thing about this is, since I started doing theatre, which actually is quite new for me, it's like 4 or 5 years I've been doing it, of course I wanted to do something at the Queen's Theatre because it's Barnstable is my hometown, and I just thought it would be lovely.
Yeah.
So when I got involved in Fringe Fest, I wasn't expecting to get that main stage there because I don't have many tech requirements. But just of how it's a bit of a lottery, I think, how they choose who's going where.
Yeah.
So when they gave me the main stage, I was really, really happy with that. And I just thought, that kind of makes it feel right, just for this to be the thing that goes there.
With everybody you love watching it as
well. It will be interesting, yeah. Hometown with family and friends around me.
What would your dad say of this?
Oh,
of this
don't
work?
Do that to me.
Because this is, you know, this is an incredible thing for your family to have, isn't it? This work that you're doing here, this is a gift to them as well.
I think so. I mean, he'd be very proud. He'd always verbalised that, really. So
good. Well, we can't wait to see it. Of
Thank
course,
you.
I've not asked you when or anything yet, so we need to talk about dates,
yes.
Don't we? So can we go through those? Tell us where and when.
Of course. So we're on from 24th to the 26th of June, which is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we've got 6 p.m.s on the Friday and Saturday and a 2 p.m. on the Sunday.
And Good Grief's going to be published in an anthology of plays in September.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
So the 8th of September, which is International Literacy Day, I'm going to release Spectrum. And so it's 5 one-act plays. They're all to do with very different human emotions, hence the title Spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Good Grief is the first play within that. And over the next 12 to 18 months, I really want all of those plays to be performed in and around town here at different locations.
Yeah.
And really the whole campaign here is to make plays more prominent within schools. I know when I was at school, we had Shakespeare and nothing else. I found Shakespeare quite overwhelming. Still kind of do, to be honest. And if that's your entry level into plays, then it can be very off-putting. But there are so many great plays and playwrights out there that actually, the idea that, you know, any kids can pick up a couple of chairs, rehearse scenes, understand character dynamics, what's happening within a scene.
Mm.
And so all your future actors, directors, writers, producers, You'll understand when you're younger if that's within you, if plays are more prominent in school. And I just think there's no cost involved. It's quick and easy to do within a class, and actually people get very engaged within plays, I've noticed. And for me, it's important to make, certainly while I'm back here, because I have contacts within the schools and things, just to see if something can happen where we say, come on, this is important for young people to be able to do. If nothing else, for the kind of therapy that I'm talking about.
And lucky children to be involved in this as well. Will you keep in touch with us and maybe pop in again and talk about that, you know, when it's all sort
of... Absolutely, I would really love to if you'll have me, yeah.
Definitely, of course we will. So thank you for coming in today to talk about Good Grief at Queen's Theatre in Barnstaple. Get tickets on the Queen's Theatre website.
So actually it's thetheatrefest.co.uk because the Queen's Theatre aren't operating the box office, so it's a different company that are doing that.
Okay.
So, yeah, theatrefest.co.uk, and then you can see all the shows that have something on over that weekend, and that's where you buy your tickets from.
Your truly local station.
Loving North Devon.
The Voice.